Open to Luke chapter 19 on page 743. I'm going to pray for us as we look at this great story in Jesus' life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you for his heart. We pray that we will have his same passions and that we will have the joy of seeing lost people found. In Jesus' name, amen. We've already sung it this morning, friends. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. These are great images of what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't mean to be a good person. It means to be a lost person who's now found by God. A blind person who's now sees God and is forgiven by God. It just shows the heart of being a Christian is to be forgiven, to be found by Jesus. And so, when we sing Amazing Grace, we're really singing about ourselves. Whether you became a Christian quickly or slowly, a lot of people, it takes many years to sort of really kind of warm up to Jesus. We've all been lost and now we're found. And really, you know, maybe many of us are still in that process of being found, and maybe today's the day to kind of make that commitment to Jesus. I think of my four children. I always seem to lose the same child. Sorry, Jemima, it's her. I've got to name her. I've asked her permission. I've never lost Josiah or Lydia or Charlie Kate, but I've consistently lost Jemima like every year. Like, I remember once in the city, we were very little, and I went into that arcade off, I think it's off, La Trobe Street, and that's further down, and you, off Collins Street, and there's that pen shop. And I like looking at pens. I don't own any fancy pens. But I went in the shop. Jemima keeps walking. And I thought all the kids were in the shop. I'm looking at fancy pens and Jemima is just gone in the crowds of the city. It's one of my most deepest memories as a dad. You know, imagine like ringing the wife and saying, good news is I've got a new pen. But Jemima, and then we had our trip to Europe in 2014, and we're on the Thames River, and there's that rebuilding of the Shakespeare's Globe Theatre, and there's a massive gift shop, and we all go into the gift shop. Jemima keeps walking down the Thames. I don't know what you're doing, Jemima, but it's a good gift shop at the Shakespeare's Globe. You could spend a good half an hour in there, and we did, before I realised that there's no Jemima. And then the longest time we lost her was in Paris and the famous museum called the Musée d'Orsay, which is a converted massive train station, and it's multiple levels. And, you know, in our family, we split up. Helen is in the slow team. I'm in the fast team. Helen reads the plaques. I don't like to do that. And so we split up. We reconnect in an hour, and none of us have seen Jemima for the last hour. And we found her on these couches sleeping. Can you believe? So that's okay. You can't go too far if you're asleep. So it's a nice feeling, though, to actually find someone you've lost. It's a great feeling, actually. It's a feeling of relief. It's a feeling of joy. It's a feeling of ecstasy. And that's really the heart of Jesus' heart here in seeking and saving the lost. Now, by the way, in my experience, friends, we have to distinguish. There are two kinds of lost, okay? And both Jesus cares about, but there's two stages of lostness. One is that very hardened stage of lostness where you really don't care about God. You don't want to be found. Eternity is a long way away. You don't really feel much guilt about your sin. You don't want forgiveness. Life is good. You're busy. That's a kind of a hardened lostness. And we need to love those people. They need our prayer. But there's another stage of lostness that I would call people who know they're lost and they want to be found. There are people out there that want to know God, that want to be forgiven, that want eternal life, that want to go to heaven, and they just don't know the way in. And that's like Zacchaeus in Luke 19. And so, friends, please be on the lookout for people who are the longing lost, the longing lost. We want to love all the lost, but we want to, in a way, not bash our heads against the wall and not really annoy them either. Like, the way you distinguish between a hardened lost and the longing lost is simply invitation. So if you invite someone, do you want to come to church with me this Easter? And they say not interested. Well, then you kind of know, you know, it's okay. But if someone is longing lost, they're just waiting for an invitation. And the longing lost may be around you even in your life this week. You know, invite someone, would you like to read a Bible? Have you got a Bible? Can I give you a Bible? If they say no, that's fine. Keep praying for them. But the longing lost will say, yes, I'd love to have a Bible. You would read it with me? You know, it's even worth just your friends knowing the offer. You give your friends a standing offer and then leave them alone. Like say, if you'd ever like to talk about Jesus, the coffee's on me. And then just leave it at that. And then they know there's a standing offer. And let the longing lost, you know, put their hand up and actually tell you. Invitations are how we find the longing lost. And the good thing about Berwick Anglican Church, by the way, friends, and this is true of us every week, every congregation, all four congregations, this church seems to be a kind of a magnet for the longing lost. People just walk into our church every service who are just interested, not really sure, searching. We love you. That's you here today. You know, and really one of the benefits of being a Christian in this church is that you get to watch people who are longing lost be found and find the promises of salvation in Jesus. And so we want to be looking for the longing lost and we want to be welcoming the longing lost. And I think in my time at BAC, we've seen people have quick conversions and people get baptized and things like that. And we've seen people have slow conversions being found. People who are spiritually a bit frozen, they thaw out and they become warm and fired up for Jesus. And it's, whatever the speed, it's a great thing. What a great church to be in. And I think it's worth the risk of rejection, you know, doing the invite and getting rejected, just to sort of test if someone is longing lost, ready to come back home to God. Well, that's exactly where Zacchaeus is in Luke 19. So by the way, we've jumped ahead 10 chapters from last week. We're kind of catching up to Luke at Easter. So we're going to look at Luke's Easter the next couple of weeks and the Easter weekend. So let me tell you about Zacchaeus. Jesus is, he's been in the north and he's coming down south in the land of Israel. He's passing through Jericho. He's on his way to the capital city to die on a cross for our sins. He's fully set to achieve his mission. And along the way, we meet this guy, Zacchaeus. We're told he's quite dodgy. He's a chief tax collector. So he extorts other Israelites and gives the money to the Romans, and he takes a cut. And he's not just one of them, he's the boss of them. He's the chief tax collector. And we're told he's very wealthy. And so, ironically, his name means pure. Zacchaeus, anyone he called Zac, your name means pure one or righteous one in Hebrew. But Zacchaeus is anything but that. He's lost. Like a lot of people Jesus meets, he's in over his head. It's often the case in life that we make small compromises, we cut corners. Zacchaeus probably thought, I've got to eat. Here's a job, it's paying, I've got to eat. And suddenly he's betrayed his people. They don't like him, they don't want him in church. And he knows God doesn't want him because he's betrayed God by taking this sort of selfish career. So he's in over his head with the Romans, the pagans. And anyway, so he hears about Jesus and he's longing. He's not the hardened lost, but he's longing. He wants back in. And so he hears that this great teacher is coming through town and he climbs a tree. And it's kind of a joke. Why does he climb the tree? Because he's short and he can't see. All the odds are against him. And Jesus sees this guy in the tree. I don't know. Imagine if someone did that here, like just sort of too scared to walk in the door. So just sit up in a tree. You'll hear the sermon. In the new sound system, you'll hear the sermon in the trees. And Jesus sees him and could see his longing. See, he wants to be forgiven. And Jesus just is like, Zacchaeus, come down. You're in. You're in. You know, I want to stay with you. You're forgiven. That's the message. By saying, you know, I want to stay with you, it means you're back in the family, you're back forgiven with God. And Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. He's truly forgiven. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Why did Jesus come? To seek and save what was lost. Now let me share some encouragements from the story. That's the story in a nutshell. The first encouragement is, I want you to see how much Jesus pauses his itinerary to help a lost person. He's going to die. He's got a mission. And Luke actually says Jesus is passing through. There are no plans to stay. And then actually says verse 4, he climbs a sycamore fig tree because Jesus was coming that way, hoping that Jesus will just pass through and he'll get a look. Maybe he'll hear a message. And Jesus, his physics, his momentum grinds to a halt, kind of like in a cartoon when someone's running in one direction and they stop and kind of slide. Jesus stops and looks at him. So important are the longing lost that Jesus will just change his itinerary for them. And the people notice this and they actually don't like it. They mutter. They say, where's Jesus gone? We thought he was going to Jerusalem. He's gone into Zach's house. That guy's a sinner. And so people are angry about Jesus' direction. But his directions show you his heart. If you are here and you are longing lost, Jesus is coming after you. Jesus wants you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And so we ought to think, even now, Jesus has risen and he is ascended at the right hand of the Father. All his divine energy, all his sort of royal rule is directed towards gathering the longing lost. Like in that Ezekiel reading, God says, I myself will gather the sheep because no one else is gathering. And so that's what we want to be as a church that welcomes, gathers, talks about Jesus, shares the forgiveness of Jesus. We want to be like Jesus and drop everything for the longing lost. We want them to be the priority over, maybe over things we'd like church to do. As long as we're reaching the longing lost, that's the main thing. And so friends, be encouraged. If you want to have a front row seat to see this, can I encourage you to sign up and do Christianity Explored after Easter. It starts in May. You can sign up. You can see on our website there's a bit of information about this course. We're running it on Tuesday evenings in May. And if you do that course, you'll see people, the longing lost, thaw out and become alive to Jesus. It's such a joy. And so make Jesus priority, your priority. That's the first lesson. The second lesson is, it's really a good story today to see how quickly you can be saved. Salvation is a very quick thing in Christianity. It's simply a matter of putting your trust in Jesus and it's immediate. It's promised. It's something that is declarative in the gospel. And so what does Zach do? All he does is climbs a tree and puts his hope in Jesus. And Jesus can tell, you're trusting in me because you've embarrassed yourself to get up there. You really want to hope in me. Forgiven. Salvation is that quick. You could even say that Zacchaeus has eternal life, fully forgiven, going to heaven even before his feet touch the ground, even before he gets down from the tree. So that is really what we want people to see in the Bible. The Bible is basically a book of promises of salvation from God for all who will trust in Jesus and repent of their sin. And when you read a promise of God's word, you know, even today, Jesus, you came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus, if you pray, Jesus, save me, then you are saved. It's really strong, actually, in Luke's telling, because he says in verse 5, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house today. That's a sign that he's forgiven today. And then later on in verse 9, Jesus actually explicitly says, today salvation has come to Zacchaeus. Salvation is immediate in Jesus. It's not a mountain you climb and one day you're kind of good enough to be forgiven. It's a promise. It's not earned by you, it's earned by Jesus. In fact, when Jesus is on the cross, there's another salvation moment, isn't there, in Luke's gospel, where there's that criminal who says, Jesus, remember me. And again, Jesus uses the word, today you'll be with me in paradise. So salvation in Christianity is immediate. It's instant through Jesus. It's not a slow mountain you climb. It's something you receive as a gift by faith. I love that passage. One of my favorite Bible verses is Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a great promise. So, you know, climb a tree, look to Jesus, respond to his call, open the promise book, you will be saved. And the third encouragement, this is an easy one. It's really good to see in this story how knowing Jesus changes you. It transforms you. The change in Zacchaeus is incredible. A rich, greedy man suddenly says to Jesus, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Not just the amount, not just double, four times the amount. And scholars note that there were rules in the Old Testament law about how much recompense you had to pay if you were caught stealing, and it wasn't this much. Zacchaeus is transformed through knowing Jesus. So friends, let me encourage you, go deeper in your relationship with Jesus. Are you spending time with him? Are you spending time in his word? Are you delighting him? Are you disciplining your mind in church so that you're engaging with him in the singing and the reading, and you're talking to people at church about it? You know, study the Bible, work on your time with Jesus, and he'll transform you. There's no other way to be changed than by knowing Jesus. And I guess Zacchaeus is an amazing change because he's there face to face with Jesus. But that same power is present when we know Jesus and when we walk closely with him. So friends, you can tell I love the story. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, the longing lost. Does your heart reflect Jesus' heart? Can I encourage you this morning? Be refreshed knowing that Jesus drops everything to help people who are lost. What a great saviour. Be encouraged that salvation is immediate. It's promised. It's a gift. And be refreshed that knowing Jesus is transformative. You know, if you've got something in your life you want to change, spend more time with Jesus. You know, either sin will kind of squeeze out your prayer life, or your prayer life will squeeze out your sin. You know, so the more time you're with Jesus, the more power you will have to be transformed. Friends, will you join the joy of seeing the lost be saved? Will you dig deeper at seeing people in our church be saved? Will you invite people? Will you come along to Christianity Explored? Will you be part of this divine seeking movement that God is doing, that the longing lost will come home and be forgiven and have eternal life? Let's pray that will be our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are not like the people muttering in this story. Thank you that you are the one who's going into Zach's house and you're forgiving and you're seeking and you're showing love to the lost. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the people in our church who have become Christians here in recent years, or for those who have warmed up and thawed out to your love and the message of your forgiveness. Please help us to have confidence in your blood and give us a heart for the longing lost, and show us who they are around us. In Jesus' name, amen.